And what a joy it is. Well, we'll start preaching here in just a moment, but I want to remind you or let you know that we'll be out in good time. It'll still be daylight, of course, and challenge you to, if you haven't been over the auditorium recently, that you stop by or swing through. The lights are on, and we'll make sure that security has the doors unlocked there if you want to slip in and see what's going on. A lot of exciting things happening this week, but probably it won't be quite as accessible over the next few weeks because of some of the things that they're doing. They should be delivering the pews this week and trying to get those set up in there. So if you want to slip by tonight and see how it is so far, I challenge you to do that. And then keep up on social media. Miss Becky Roten keeps us up in good, keeps you up to date in good fashion, and we're looking forward to it. I do want you to also remember, as we're just reminding everybody, on May 23rd, Lord willing, we will be having our dedication Sunday, and we've got some special things lined up. We have a lot of exciting things going on that day, but I want you to mark it on your calendar. I want you to be reminding people, inviting people, telling them they've got to come for that special dedication Sunday. We're looking forward to a great time, and then pray. As you know, anything could happen with all the materials and products and all that, so pray that the Lord continues to bring all that stuff in, because we certainly don't want to get held up on one thing or another. So pray with us about that, and then look forward to the 23rd and of May, that is. We're going to have an exciting time looking forward to. Well, tonight, easy to find your place in Psalm. Psalm is such a large book in the Old Testament. We're looking at Psalm 1, the first Psalm, very popular, very familiar. And I want to preach for a little while about this subject, can I be blessed? And we're going to see what the Bible says about blessed is that man, or lady, of course, but blessed is that man. So we're looking in Psalm 1, and as we look there, we'll read the first three verses and then get right into the message and trust it'll be a blessing to you. And what a joy to see you back on a Sunday night. We had a great crowd this morning, and we were so excited to see folks in church, and just what a wonderful, wonderful place to be, and trust that the Lord moved upon your heart as well. Psalm 1, verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I'll stop there for this evening's reading, and we'll preach a message, God helping me, about can I be blessed? And this familiar psalm tells us how to be blessed. You can't get any more obvious than blessed is this man. And I trust that God will help us. Let's pray together. Father, we do beg for your presence, dear Lord. We know that, Lord, you go with us, and the Holy Spirit resides in us and every believer. And so, Lord, we know that you're here, but we pray that you would meet with us in a very extraordinary way, and that you would speak to our hearts, change our lives, dear Lord. Give us good practical wisdom for our journey this week. Lord, I didn't come to help people just mark on their card that they did come on Sunday night. But dear Lord, what I did come for is to see you work in the hearts and lives of people, that you would help equip us for this week that we're about to engage in. Dear Lord, so I pray that you would just do that to everybody here tonight. May we get something that we can take home, that it will help us, it will benefit us, dear Lord. It will catapult us in to living the life that you want us to. In Jesus' name, amen. I suppose everybody wants to be happy or blessed. I don't think there's anybody, unless you're kind of some kind of strange sick puppy that says, I just love to have a rotten life. I think everybody wants to have a good life. They want to be blessed. They want to be happy. They want to have joy. But it's all about sometimes how you go about it. Most everybody also wants to be slim, trim, and fit. Some people go about it by exercise, a low-fat diet, low-carb diet, low-sugar diet, low-taste diet. You know the type. You might as well just say, if you're on a diet, whatever tastes good, it's not for you. The other people go on that diet, and they want to be slim, trim, and fit, and they have on their agenda that they eat several biscuits in the morning with lard and buttermilk and all kinds of stuff used in there, a bunch of pork sausage gravy on top of it, and then they have a double hamburger at Five Guys with a bunch of fries afterwards for lunch, and then they have a big old bowl of spaghetti for supper and ice cream for dessert, hot fudge and all the stuff on top of there, and then they have a midnight snack before it's time to go to bed, and then they say, I just don't understand why I'm not losing weight. The truth of the matter is both of them want the same thing, but they're on different paths to get there. And I believe that everybody wants to be happy. I think everybody wants to be blessed. Everybody wants to have joy. I believe everybody wants to have a good life. But in this same vein of wanting to drop 20 pounds or whatever a person wants to do, if they've got a goal, then they've got to do what it takes to get that goal. And in that same vein, everybody does want to be blessed, I believe, but one follows the Word of God and lives accordingly. The other indulges in sin and immorality and loose living and allows every whim to be engaged upon in their life. Both want happiness, but it won't happen. And so I want to preach this evening for just a little while about to everybody in this room about being blessed. And so as the Lord blesses, I trust that the message we get across to you, I want to show you this blessed man or woman. Number one, I see the things that he avoids. In verse number one, we see that this person avoids certain things. He's got some things on the banned list, meaning with the big red circle and the slash through it. Are you saying, preacher, that he can't do them? No, I'm not saying he can't do them. I'm saying he can't do them and be happy. He can do whatever he wants, but he can't do those things and be happy. God says he'll give us the secret, if it is a secret, to happiness or blessedness in verse number one. Number one, don't walk with the ungodly. Don't stand around with the sinners. And don't pull up a chair with the scorners, the mockers, the atheists, the ones that hate God. Now, there's an interesting contrast of what people think. There are certain people that think, well, I'm saved, so I've got to totally isolate myself from the wrong influences. I've got to isolate myself from everybody who doesn't believe just like I do. Well, it's hard to win the world if you don't go to the world. Like Brother Midkiff, it'd be easier for him. His father-in-law is a missionary, and they have a good home church, and his dad's a pastor. It'd be easier for them just to stay insulated right there. But instead, he's going to go immerse himself in Muslim culture so that he can reach them for the glory of God and the gospel of Christ. So the contrast is, some people say, oh, I'm just going to stay over here safe where I don't ever see anybody who's not like me. But God didn't call us to stay safe and not reach the world. God called us to get out in the world and see the people that need to be saved and win them to Christ. And then there's the other side of it. There are some people who say, oh no, you got to be out around the sinners. And that's true. That's who needs to be saved. But they get so incognito. They get so engulfed in that culture. Now you can't tell them from the unsaved people. One fellow came to the Easter service and he saw the pastor at the back door, and the preacher said, boy, it's so good to see you. He said, yes, sir, I'm just reporting to duty. I'm so thankful to be in the Lord's army. He said, really? I didn't know you were in the Lord's army. I only haven't seen you since last Christmas. He says, I'm in the Lord's army, but I'm in the secret service. So some people, they get so engulfed in that culture over there that you can't tell them from the world. So that's never God's plan for you as a believer. God wants us to engage the world. God wants us to be around them. But he always wants to maintain a distinct difference between me and them. It never should be that somebody walks into your workplace after they observe you for a little while, and they should never be able to say, I can't tell him from all the unsaved folks. I see those two differing positions. One says, I can't be around those kind of people. Well, if you're going to live, you have to be. And not only do you have to be, you're supposed to be. That's how we're supposed to be a witness and salt and light for Christ. But then you also, if you're over here and you say, oh, I just take all the advice that I can get from everybody, and I take all the advice from unsaved people and ungodly people, and I just kind of blend it all together, and I take and see what sounds good, and then that's what I go do. It's an interesting thing that when Jesus was on the earth walking the lanes and the roads, that he was always, as he had to go do something, he was again saying, that's the will of the Father. Instead of just saying, hey boys, let me see what we all want to do. He said, I must needs go by Samaria. It's the will of the Father I do this. And the will of his Father he came to do. And so it's a good idea for us not just to take all of the whims and wishes of everybody that we see, the scorners, the ungodly, all of the rest, and say, oh, well, we'll just take advice from everybody without any care or concern who it's from. You understand, that's a foolish way to live. So I want you to see this evening what the thing that the godly or the blessed person avoids. The Bible says that blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. The Bible says that he walketh not, he standeth not, and he sitteth not in the seat of the scornful. The blessed man stays away from that. So what I'm getting at this evening is, we're not supposed to be insulated from all the world. We're supposed to be out there living to make a difference from to them. But here's what we are supposed to do. Those folks that you trust as counselors, those folks that you trust with your family's welfare and good and well-being, those people that you come to for advice, those folks are supposed to be some that you know can get a hold of God. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? What do you mean by getting a hold of God? I mean that there are folks in my life that I trust their prayer walk. I trust the fact that they can pray, and I trust the fact that they're living a life separated unto God, and I trust that their life, that they're walking with Him. And when I want to have some wisdom and some direction, and I want to have some help in a certain area, I don't go to the unsaved person and say, listen, what do you think I ought to do about this? Instead, I go to that person who I believe walks with the Lord and say, I'd like for you to pray for me about this. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, as the scripture says. And so there's some things that this person avoids. Listen, my friend, you should be very, very careful where you get your advice from. So now let's separate the two out. If you're figuring out what the best mixture to spray on your house to get some of the mold or mildew off the side of it, you can just get online. You can find it. It doesn't matter whether that person knows Jesus from Santa Claus or not. He probably may know how to get a mixture right to get the mold off the side of your house. But if you instead are going to try to get some wisdom about how to rear children, then I want somebody who walks with the Lord, who I know is in their Bible, who I know is trying to walk with God themselves, and that's the person that I want to hear from. So the Bible says that blessed is that man that walketh not. It tells us what not to do. So by inference, it tells us what to do, and that means you walk according to the counsel. In the multitude of counsel, there's safety, there's wisdom, and so we walk according to the counsel of those godly people. You can see the progression, and maybe another message we'll look at that. You understand there's the walking and then the standing and then the sitting, and it goes down in that fashion. But I want you to see, first of all, that there's some things that that blessed man avoids. I would submit to you, when you've got to make important decisions, that you get some godly counselors. You get some godly wisdom. I was talking to somebody the other day. I said, well, I called Preacher Lassie and asked him about this. I said, praise the Lord, that's wonderful. Somebody else, it doesn't have to be somebody from here, but it has to be somebody, or should be somebody, who walks with the Lord, and should be somebody who's got a fervent Bible time, and that they know what the Word of God says. My friend, I'm just saying that this world throws all kinds of ideas out there. Did you ever figure this out like I have? We were trying to figure out something. We were trying to find out what would heal up one of our kids for something. I can't remember what it was. And you look on the internet, you understand that everything's a cure. Just keep looking. If you got poison ivy, there's 3,000 cures out there. Some of them say put bleach on it. Some of them say put turpentine. Some of them say do this. Some of them say some kind of cream. Some of them say whatever. There's everything out there. Just look, some nut job's got a website. And so if you're going to do that, then you probably ought to get somebody who's got a little bit of medical knowledge so they can help you out in that vein. Well, we're not trying to cure poison ivy. We're trying to make big life decisions. We're not trying to find out where to buy a car from. We're trying to make big life decisions. We're not trying to figure out who the best realtor is. We're not trying to find out this, that, and the other. But instead, in order to be blessed and in order to be happy, we're trying to find out, how do we build a marriage that would honor God? How do we raise children that would grow up and glorify God? How do we stick together when everybody else in the world is letting their marriage go apart? How do we stay true to the Word of God in building a church? And when I'm thinking of those things, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. My friend, I would never want you to be an isolationist where you didn't meet anybody who's not like you. What kind of life is that? Because we have to meet them. But I would say that all of us would be very unwise to take our life's most important advice from people who don't know God. Blessed is the man. I see the things he avoids. Not only do I see that, but in look in verse number 2, I see the things that he employs. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Not only do we see that he avoids certain things, but then he also uses other things or employs them. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You understand that Jesus did everything for a reason. And as Satan tried to tempt him those days, you understand that Jesus is God, was God, always has been God. He could have battled Satan however he wanted to, but instead he battled him with the word of God. Sounds like a pretty good lesson for us. That means if you're struggling with something, you get you some Bible verses arsenal in there, and you put them in your pocket, you put them on your steering or in the dash of your car, put them wherever it is, and you fight with the Word of God. And the Scripture says that Jesus did that. And the Bible says in another passage, this book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. I was visiting the hospital some time ago, way before COVID. And I was trying to comfort this family. And here's the confession of your pastor. I was trying to comfort this family, and it wasn't going very far. And I was trying to give them all the things that all of us do that, well, you know, you'll be out soon, and you've got a family. And I was trying to give them all of the pep talk I could give them, but it was going nowhere. It was about like a hot air balloon, but all the air went out of it. It was not going anywhere until finally it dawned on me, and I hate to confess this, but I thought, John, you haven't read them the Bible. So I got my two New Testament out of my pocket. And boy, oh boy, how the attitude in the room changed as I sat there at the end of that bed and read some of the Psalms and read some of the comforting verses. And here I was trying to do it on my own. Say, oh, you're going to be fine and you're going to do this and you've got a great family. And boy, your family at home, they're going to help take care of you as soon as you get there. And there's been others that have gone through this. I was trying everything out, everything in my arsenal except for the most important one. Getting the Word of God out and reading about the God of all comfort and how the atmosphere changed. So tonight, there are some things that blessed man avoids, but there are certainly some things that he or she employs. And my friend, this is what you and I need to build our lives on. I love the slogan of one church, a good church, that said, we're people. And I hope it's true, and I hope it's true here. We're people of the book. And I trust that your life is known as a life that's built on the book. I hope it's not known as somebody who goes to that church. I hope it's known as the life that is built on the book. So the things that he avoids and then the things that he employs. Are you troubled this evening? Are you anxious? Are you worried about certain things? Do certain things seem to plague you? The Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I would suggest to you, if you find yourself nervous, and I would suggest if you find yourself worried about decisions, that you just dive into that book that you're holding in your lap. And get some counsel from somebody that's godly and wise in their walk with the Lord as well. And put that together and ask the Lord to lead, guide, and help you. I'm a big believer that the reason that we don't have wisdom that we need is because we don't ask. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not. That means in the vernacular of today, he ain't getting mad at you. He'll be there to give that wisdom. So the things that the wise person employs is having his delight. Now let me again be completely transparent with you. There will be many, many mornings that you probably won't get up, or evenings whenever you read. There will be many times throughout the many days as you try to read your Bible that you won't just have this burning desire to say, oh, I can't wait to get in its pages. But it's those days you need to say, well, I'm going to get in them anyways. How many of you you just love to exercise? There's just something about it. It just thrills you. You'd rather do that than eat when you're hungry. There's very few of you, maybe one or two weirdos, but they were afraid to raise their hand. Afraid the rest of you attack them. Take you out back. But if you do that, and you should, all of us should, if you do that, you do it most of the time because you know you need it. And my friend, there's lots of times when I try to get my Bible and I don't feel motivated. If I got in this Bible every time I was motivated, I'd go many days without getting in it. I'd have to be honest with you. But I believe you ought to get in it because it's our lifeblood. It's the Word. It is what we live on. And my friend, I'm trying to tell you that God says that blessed man is that one that enjoys this Word. The blessed man is that one that has his delight in it. It thrills him. He stays in it till it gets good. He stays in it till the big wheel gets kind of tangled up with the little wheel. He stays in it until things get pretty high cotton in there. He employs those things. And I'll give you the last one before we leave. And that is, we see what he avoids and what he employs. But then it goes to verse number 3, gives the life or the way, the life that he enjoys. And he, that person, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. This is the life that he enjoys. I would say to you, he has a firm life, because the Bible says in verse number 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. It's firm. It's in there. It's getting its roots down deep in there. We used to live by this creek that ran all the way around, dog-legged around the front of our house from the side of it. And we would play on some, this creek bank was always a road, and we'd play on some of these big roots that these trees had right on the side of this creek. And so we'd play, it's like a big jungle gym. All those roots just sprawled out everywhere. But the water kept washing back in there further and further and further and further. And eventually one storm came and some winds blew. And that tree didn't have enough roots still left hanging on to anything to keep it upright. And so when that wind blew, it came down. Because those roots are there for a reason. They're there to go down into that earth, so that when the storms come, that tree can just sway from side to side but stay up. And my friend, your roots are supposed to be down, and my roots are supposed to be down deep in the Word of God. My roots are supposed to be down there deep in the Word of God, so that I could be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and I could have that firm life. And my friend, it's no wonder that people are tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, as the Bible says, because we are not rooted in the Word of God. And I would challenge all of us to get in our Bible and let our Bible get into us. I want us all to live that blessed life, and I see that not only will we have the life that we enjoy that's firm, but then the Bible goes on to say that it's also a fruitful life, because it says that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. We used to be by the bus barn of the church we were at. It had some of these apple trees, and they would grow these useless little gnarly apples that were just small, big, just about as big as a balled up fist, and they were tough and hard and just useless. You know what we did with them? Cut them down. You say, oh, you could have done some other things to it. I know we could have, but we didn't want to take the time. We just cut them down. But then there are some apple trees around that put out some really good fruit. And the Bible says that that person that dwells in this book, that person not only has that, be like that tree that's planted by the rivers of water, but it also bring forth fruit in his season. It'll be that one that has that fruitful life. And then we see the last one, just because I like to alliterate, will be that full life, because it goes on to say, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. He'd have a firm life and a fruitful life, but then also a full life, not withered up and drawn up. Because even when it hasn't rained for a while, those big old trees have their roots down so far, they're sucking water out of way below the dirt that you're seeing. They can have that fruitful, full life. And my friend, I want all of us to live that way. So I would like for us to take a little inventory tonight. I don't think there's anybody in this room who would say, you know, I'd like for my life to be anemic. I'd like for my life to be kind of pitiful. Like that little gnarly apple that you talked about, I'd like to be that kind. I don't think any of us want to be that way. We want to be a blessed life. We want to have a full life. We want to have a fruitful life. I'm telling you, my friend, the Word of God tells us how to do it. And all we've got to decide tonight, are we going to take God at His Word, or are we going to try it another way? Now, I can tell you this, God's been challenged lots of times. He's never backed down from a challenge. And He's never been outdone. So it'll be true when we're done testing it. But I see that blessed is this man. There are some things that he avoids. He avoids the counsel of those folks. Again, I'm not saying that you don't have friends that go do this. That's an unbiblical life. But I am saying when you get to a place, you ought to have some good counselors. You ought to have some people who are wise and in their book, in the book rather. That's the things that he avoids. And the things that he employs is found right here. And maybe you're like me and so many others that you find it difficult sometimes to get in the Bible because everything else is happening. You understand, many of you are like me, your phone starts ringing early and it keeps ringing till late. If you're not careful, you'll go long periods of time without just pulling away and shutting it off and getting in the book. My friend, you're going to have to fight for that. Because the Bible says that his delight should be in the Word of God. And then if we want what comes in verse number 3, then we've got to go by way of verse number 1 and 2. If we want that fruitful life in verse 3, we want that tree being planted by the rivers of water. We have gone as a church family, we have gone to some funerals in the last 3 weeks of some very strong, fruitful, full Christians that have gone on to heaven. They found the secret to this passage a long time ago. They got in the book and they stayed in the book. And I'm asking us to do just the same thing. So you say, okay, what am I supposed to do with this message? Well, what you're supposed to do with this message, what I would recommend, I told you at the beginning, are you saying that that person, if they're going to be blessed, or that person that's saved, that they can't do certain things? No, I said you can do whatever you want. You just can't do them and be happy. You can put your life against the rocks of this world all day long and they'll just beat you up just like it's done everybody else who's tried it. The law, you'll break yourself against the law just like everybody else has. So what I'm saying we do with this is we take God at His Word and then we take God's Word and we get it into us this week. Tomorrow's a new day. I don't know if you're a morning person or an evening person. I jokingly tell Preacher Lashley that they have the wrong pastor to get somebody up here at 3 a.m. He comes in here at 3, 4, 2 a.m. I don't know what time he gets up, but way before I'm up. But before he lords that over me, I also go to bed. He goes to bed a lot earlier than I do, too. He said, well, John, if you're going to get up at 3, you got to go to bed at 7. I said, 7 o'clock? I haven't been to bed at 7 o'clock for a long time. Not that 7. I've been in bed the other 7 a few times. So I don't know if you're a morning person or a night person or I don't know. Your work schedule may be such that you can't do it here, you got to do it there. That's immaterial. But I'm telling you what we ought to do with this passage. You ought to commit, if I could be your counselor for a while, you ought to commit to this week, make this your delight. To get yourself in this book, get this book in yourself, and see if God's Word isn't true. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. And then when Monday gets done, and you've gotten the Word of God in you, then replay it on Tuesday, and keep on being in it. Because my friend, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It's God's Word to us, for us, to equip us, and to bless us. Let's get in it. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Oh, thank You, Lord, for Your Word. And Lord, I guess it seems like maybe we just took the car for a Sunday drive around familiar territory tonight. I don't think there's one person in here that came in thinking that I would preach not to read the Bible. So Lord, maybe we covered familiar territory. Maybe we were driving up and down the lanes of roads that we knew well. But I pray, dear Lord, in this familiar drive that You have encouraged, You have nudged some people to get in your book and to get your book into their life again. Lord, there's some folks that we have just been playing with the Word of God. We've just been reading a few verses here and one day, and then a few days later pick it up and read it again, maybe for another few verses, and reading again 3 days later. Lord, I pray that we would get the Word of God in us. I pray that's the life we would enjoy. I pray that, dear Lord, we would delight ourselves in Your Word and let Your Word find root in our heart. And, dear Lord, make us like that tree that's planted by the rivers of water. Dear Lord, the rivers of water are Your substance, dear Lord, and Your provision and Your health and Your help. And, dear Lord, we can't get to that without being that rooted person in Your Word. I pray that we would be. Bless us, dear God, I ask, and we'll thank You for it in the name of Jesus. While the ladies play, would you stand together? And maybe you need to make a commitment again tonight to the Word of God. You don't have to come to this altar, although you're welcome to. But there where you stand or there where you sit, you're making a pew or altar out of your pew. You know how long it's been since you've been in His Word. Why don't you tell Him privately, silently there, so Lord, forgive me. I need to be back in Your Word. I need to be back in Your Word that will strengthen and solidify me. The Word of God is there for you. It's God's love letter. May we read it and heed it and let it do its work in us. Maybe you're here tonight and I preached about the Word of God and you say, Brother John, I know that somebody somewhere has said in the Word of God that everybody must be born again, but you'd say, I'm not saved. If that's you tonight, you're not saved. Maybe you're a member of this church, but you've been wrestling with it, and you know that you've never been saved. I pray if that's you, whoever you are, that you just step out and come. Brother Daniel's right in front of the podium I preach from tonight, and would love to take a Bible, or if you're a lady, would have a lady just take their time with you, show you from the Word of God how you be sure you're saved. Oh, it's the Word of God. It's God's Word to you and to me. Lord, we're supposed to be people of the book. And let the book be in us. And let us be in the book. Maybe you're here tonight and you're saved, but you've never been baptized. I didn't preach at all about that. But we're getting a group up. When we get back in that auditorium, we want to have a good number of folks that we could see follow Christ in believers' baptism. Maybe you'd say, Brother John, I've never been baptized. I'm saved, I know that, but I've never followed Christ in baptism. Would you come and just let us put you down and we'd rejoice with you and do that as soon as we get back over there. Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. There's one family that's already joining tonight, and we're so thankful for them. I'll announce in a moment. But maybe you too would like to come and present yourself for membership. You say, God's led me. I want to present myself for membership there at the church. Why don't you step out and come? Amen. Thank you. May look this way. What a joy to be in church tonight. And I trust that you'll take that familiar passage and maybe a familiar message, but take it to heart this week. And I'm not one to make people commit publicly, although there's certainly nothing wrong with that. But so I'm not going to have you raise your hand who will strive to be in it. But I hope that as you walk out of here, you'd make some vows to the Lord. Say, Lord, help me. If you'll help me, I want to be in your word every day this week. Folks, I do. I'm not just saying this because I'm a preacher. If I didn't believe all this, I'd go get an honest job. I wouldn't keep taking your money. I'd go do something else. I believe what I'm saying. This book will help you, empower you. It will strengthen you. It will give you wisdom for where you need it. It will give you salve for the wounds. It will help you in so many things. It's not that the book won't work. I just think we are not getting it in us. And so I want us as a church to get in it afresh and anew. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to give you this wonderful report. We've got some good friends that have become good friends over the last months that we've been knowing them. But they'd also like to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, Brother Rick and Miss Pam Norris. And, of course, you know that's my wife's maiden name, so although there's no relation, but we would love it if there were, but there isn't. But they've come, and they're right over here behind Amy and Jared Alley, and many of you have got to know them. They are in on the surprise that Daniel was talking about next Sunday night, but I can't tell you any more than that, and so I hope they won't divulge anything either, but that we're going to have utilize them. We don't let people rest when they get a member of here, I guess, but they have come to unite in fellowship with Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. They're saved and baptized. We've got to talk with them, and they're a wonderful couple and believe that the Lord has led them to join our church, and I do believe as well. You rejoice with me in that. Would you say amen? Amen. Wonderful folks. I hope you get by to greet them, like I said, right behind Amy and Jared and Allie. And wonderful things are happening here. We're so thankful for what God is doing. And we're also glad that Brother Midkiff is here. And he's been everywhere, man. And so he's not going to get around everybody. But his table is back there if you want to get a prayer card. Or he'll stay up here as well. And if you want to come by and see him, maybe just let him know you'll be praying for him, and we'll trust the Lord puts his richest blessings on you, brother. It's a joy to have you here tonight. Thank you for being in church. And I also want to remind you if you have time, slip through the auditorium, just take a look around and see what's going on. It's going to be a beautiful, beautiful thing. I'm so excited about what God is doing. And I want you to continue to pray for safety and wisdom and all those things. And then just one word, I rarely say anything about it, but the ushers take the offering up back there. And I want to thank you for being faithful in giving. And thank you for being obedient to the Lord. I trust that we all know that my family, we don't give to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. We do send it through this church, but we're giving past this church and giving it to God. And thank you so much for being faithful in your tithes and your offerings and missions. And it's just a joy to see what God has done. And it's a joy to a pastor's heart that I don't get up every week and say, listen, folks, you're going to have to dig down deep and give more. God has led you and you have been faithful. You've been obedient. And it's just a real joy. Thank you, thank you, thank you for that. And what a joy it is. So all those things to say, don't forget to stop by and see the Norrises on your way out. And to see Brother Midkiff as well. God bless you. Thank you for being in church tonight. You're dismissed.
Whose broad stripes and bright stars through the past.